here we go. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. And Margie, if you'll close that door back there, and we're going to just open in prayer. And we just thank God for a new month, the month of February, and we're praising God for it. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. We thank you for your grace, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just appreciate it. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, Lord God, that as we learn about prayer, we learn more and more, Lord, how you bless us and how you keep us and how you just can move in our lives, Lord God. Father, we thank you that we can come before the throne of grace boldly because of the blood of Jesus Christ, not because of ourselves. We can come boldly because of the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord God, and find help, your word says, in the time of need. So, Lord, we just thank you for prayer today, Lord, and we just pray, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, move. Holy Spirit, fall on us. Don't hover above us. Fall on us. So that we would have understanding and revelation in your word. Lord, I can just give one aspect of revelation, but Lord, as each person hears, Lord God, I know you can even give more fresh revelation to them, Lord God. So Lord, we pray that that would happen, that we would take it in, we would digest it, and it would change who we are, Lord God. Now, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, and we continue to expect you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to go forward, and we're still on the 10 locks of prayer, and last week, I think we got through several of the locks. We started out with praying without knowing Jesus, and of course, that's a biggie right there. You know, we talked about how God can hear any prayer he wants to hear, answer any prayer he wants to hear. He's God. But when you are a child of God, oh, you've got certain privileges according to the word of God when it comes to prayer. If you don't know God, you don't have a relationship with God, then you can't really expect God to move as you would want him to on your behalf. You know, and that was very clear in the word of God. Praying from an unrepentant heart. And boy, that place, he's talking about believers sometimes. That sometimes we got stuff that we need to repent for, things that we need to deal with, and we refuse to deal with it. Therefore, God will not hear us concerning that. And so that scripture that we heard, that we read, was Psalm 66:18, and it says, if I regard sin and baseness in my heart, that is, if I know it is there and do nothing about it, the Lord will not hear me. So that's word, folks. That's the word of God. So you've got to deal with it. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I need Jesus every day. And I tell you, nothing between my soul and my Savior. Honey, let them win the argument. Let them have what they want to have. Repent. Get it over with. Because I can't have anything between my soul and my Savior. Okay, I can't have sin going on and I'm not dealing with it and I'm ignoring it. God help you if you're justifying it. Because a lot of times we do that. We justify it and think we have a right to do this, that, or the other thing. Praying for show. We talked about showy prayers, and Jesus addressed that directly. He talked about people that were showy in their prayers and how, again, he's like, you know, he talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector, and which one went away from the temple redeemed? It was the tax collector and not the showy Pharisee, you know, being showy because I haven't done those sins like those other people. And boy, we have Pharisees. You know, we're not called Pharisees. They're not called Pharisees. I'm not going to say we, but they're not called Pharisees, but we act like the Pharisees, all showy in our religious garb and our religiosity and all this, and carrying around our big giant King James and, you know, and all of this stuff. And we're showy, you know, with our faith and showy with our praying. And it says, like, the Lord doesn't hear that. No. Those prayers hit the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Oh, but show me the person all ragged and tagged and full of sin and knows they're full of sin. And they come and they lay themselves at the altar. I'm telling you, that prayer went straight to heaven. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. So that's what God is saying. Be real with him. God doesn't want a bunch of showy stuff. And even as you come to Christ, continue being real. Okay, we come to Christ and we come with all these faults. The Bible says the sin that so easily besets us, hangs on us. You know, we're trying. Jesus is taking them off one by one. I said, but don't come off like you're so perfect. We are not perfect. Christians are not perfect. perfect. Newsflash.
Amen.
Christians are not perfect. They're just forgiven.
Amen.
But they got a long way to go. You know, I tell you, the more I learn about God, the more I realize how far away I am from Him.
Amen.
And how much more I've got to do. And that's why the scripture says the work He began in us, He continued to perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. So we thank God for that. So after we got through showy prayers, and now number four, we're going on praying repetitive and empty words. Okay, let's unpack this for a minute, as Pastor Steve says. Let's unpack this one for a minute. We're getting some more handouts. Guys, those of you that don't have handouts, Rita is making some copies right now, but please sign in and take the handout that's over there. There's an extra handout that we have that's over there that we're going to be utilizing today. In fact, I need one of them because I thought, you know, I've been thank you. So as we're talking about, and those of you that are just coming in, we're talking about the locks of prayer. We just was doing a review on the first three, and now we're on the fourth lock, praying repetitive or empty words. And your lesson says, one thing that makes our praying land with a loud, with a thud of wasted words is when we're talking and talking, but aren't listening to what we are saying. Boy, that's from our book. You want God to listen, but are you listening to your words? Are they words from your heart or an empty recording in your mind? You say it while daydreaming on other things. Are you just passing the time in boredom? Oh my goodness, I think it's just powerful how we got to have to break that down when it comes to prayer. Can I borrow your book again, Virginia? This is our book, everyone that's new here today. This is our book, Battle Plan for Prayer. It's written by the Kendrick brothers. These are the brothers that did The War Room and did Overcoming, that movie Overcoming that came out last summer. In fact, I bought the movie, so... you know, next time we get together, we'll show that movie. Next time we have our Sunday dinner, okay, we'll look at that movie, Overcoming. Who's seen it already? Okay, so we'll watch that movie, Overcoming, for the next Sunday dinner, which is coming up soon. Virginia will remind me when it's time. Okay, so we're talking about praying these repetitive words. Are they empty? Are you just playing a recording in your mind and you're daydreaming on other things? Are you just passing the time in boredom? What are you thinking about when you're praying? If you're thinking about other things, then prayer becomes just a ritual. You're just going through the motions. It's just a ritual. The prayer is not in your prayer. You're not connecting. You're not engaging with the Holy Spirit. You are just saying words. You're just going through a process and a ritual. And God forbid your prayers ever become like that. And if they have, oh boy, there's help for you. And that's what we want to talk about today. Your lesson says, how do you keep your prayers from becoming canned and thoughtless? You invite the Holy Spirit into your time before God. Simple as that. You invite the Holy Spirit into your time before God, your personal time. The Holy Spirit is not just to be with you in church. Because sometimes we think that, just in church, that's when I get my good feeling and I sing my praise and worship. Oh, I'm telling you, you should be having church at home and you should be inviting the Holy Spirit into your personal prayer time. Oh my goodness, it'll make all the difference in the world if you invite the Holy Spirit. Your lesson says the Holy Spirit is an intricate and intimate part of any true prayer. The scriptures teach us in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I'm telling you, you've got to invite the Holy Spirit into this. You have to invite him into your conversations with God, because the scripture says you don't even know what to pray for. I know you're talking and talking and God do this and God do that and Lord meet the need and Lord helps Barbara to do this and help Michael to do this and all of this, but we don't know how to pray.
Amen.
See, that's what the scripture says. You don't even know how to pray for them. You don't even have all the intel on what's going on with them.
Amen.
And that's why the Spirit intercedes for the saints.
Amen.
He He's interceding for the Christians because we think, oh, that's for other people. No, it's for us. Because we have to learn how to invite the Holy Spirit into the prayer. It is the Spirit of God within you that gets the communication of your heart to God. You understand? It's because that's why I said it's, you got to know Jesus, because it's that Spirit of Christ within you that communicates what's in your heart to God. Even though you're saying things, there are things in your heart that are communicated with God by the Spirit. And the Spirit communicates to God according to God's will for you and will for other people. And I love that. So we do pray for other people, but God, oh, he looks at what the Spirit is saying. Amen. Within you. That Holy Spirit has seen who you're praying for. And the Holy Spirit is making intercession for you according to the will of God. In prayer, you line up with the Spirit, not the other way around. Amen. Can I say that again? In prayer, you line up with the Spirit. It's not the other way around. It's the Holy Ghost, come and get in line with what I want to do. No. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, what would you want to, what do we need to pray about today, Holy Spirit? Let the Holy Spirit dictate to you, and you'll be surprised at the revelation the Holy Spirit will bring to your prayer time, your personal, private prayer time. There is a book I brought today, The Kneeling Christian. And I've talked about this book before. If you ever get a book on prayer, get this one. And it's called The Kneeling Christian. And believe it or not, the author is unknown. It's an old book, but the author never put his name on it. Okay, and I mean, it's just an amazing book, but it just talks about the humility of the person that wrote this. And he's got excerpts from The Life of Prayer by A.B. Simpson. He's got Meditations from Andrew Murray. And you know, Andrew Murray is our guy that we talk about all the time when it comes to prayer.
But
the author, it says The Unknown Christian is the way it's signed. The Unknown Christian is called The Kneeling Christian. And I'm telling you, there is a person, they talk about this man. I talked about him before. His name was John Hyde. And John Hyde was a prayer warrior. The way this man prayed, it was just so phenomenal that people would just, I mean, they were just amazed. When he came to pray, things happened. And things changed because of his relationship with the Holy Spirit when it came to praying. So I wanted to read this excerpt from the book, and he's talking about this man. They used to call him Praying Hyde. In fact, he got the nickname Praying Hyde. And it says, I have learned some great lessons concerning prayer. In one of our missions in England, the audiences were exceedingly small. But I received a note saying that an American missionary was going to pray God's blessing down upon our work. He was known as Praying Hyde. Almost instantly, the tide turned. The hall became packed. And my first invitations, 50 men accepted Christ as their Savior. As we were leaving, I said, Mr. Hyde, I want you to pray for me. He came to my room, turned the key in the door, and dropped on his knees and waited 5 minutes without a single syllable coming from his lips. I could hear my own heart thumping and his beating. I felt the hot tears running down my face. I knew I was with God. Then with upturned face, down which the tears were streaming, he said, Oh God. And then for 5 minutes at least, he was still again. And then when he knew that he was talking with God, there came up from the depth of his heart such petitions for me as I had never heard before. I rose from my knees to know what real prayer was. We believe that prayer is mighty, and we believe it as we never did before. So it's just, boy, when I first read that years ago, I said, God, wouldn't it be amazing to be able to pray like that? Remember, for the first 5 minutes, he said nothing. As we talked about, prayer has got to be a dialogue with God and not a monologue. In fact, if it's going to be a monologue, let it be from God to you and not you just talking and talking. But I thought that was just so amazing as we talk about empty, repetitive prayers. And this man walks in and he just drops on his knees and he doesn't say a word. Waiting on the Holy Spirit. waiting on the Holy Ghost to come. Have you ever done that? I mean, you don't have to answer. It's a rhetorical question. Because I had to ask myself, did I ever do that? Or do I just go, Lord, and just, oh boy, but just to sit there for 5 minutes. He knows somebody's there. And he just drops on his knees and just waits for 5 minutes for the Holy Spirit to come. And then he says, oh God, when he knows the Holy Spirit has enveloped the room. And then he waits again. And then he begins praying because he wants to pray what the Holy Spirit has to say. And not what he has to say. Folks, we got to get there. How we could change the world. You talked about how he changed that meeting. You know, they had a church and the church was just kind of flailing. You know, but then he came in and he started praying and it changed so much and it changed everything. We can do the same thing. We can fill the sanctuaries of God. You know, we can fill the sanctuaries of God all over the world. If we could get into praying and inviting the Holy Spirit, we got to stop our vain repetitions. We've got to pray in the Spirit. In your lesson, it says in this verse, we learn two important points when praying. First, how important the part of the Holy Spirit is in our praying. Second, we see the mention of the will of God as we pray. This is similar to what Jesus taught about in Matthew 6:8. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. When you pray, you should desire to pray what the Father knows you need and his will concerning that need, which is one in the same because he loves you. He wants you to pray what you need. The will of the Father is that you have what you need. Sometimes we just want what we want. We want to God to give us what we want. And when he doesn't give us what we want to shut down on God.
Amen.
Don't want to speak to him. He didn't answer my prayers. I'm done praying. You've heard it before. People say it. You know, God knows what you need and what you don't need. You know, and he loves you too much to give you things that's going to mess you up.
Amen.
Next point, it says, even when you do not feel like praying, ask the Holy Spirit into your prayer and experience the change in your conversation with God. The Holy Spirit makes all the difference.
Amen.
All the difference, folks. I know what I'm talking about. I'm human just like you all. I'm telling you, you know, praying was a chore when I first started, when I came on this Christian walk. Oh, you got to pray, you know, because we're supposed to pray, you know. But boy, when you invite the Holy Spirit in, oh, you'll want to pray. You'll go from feeling tired and bored to weeping and rejoicing before the Lord as the Holy Spirit brings revelation of all matters in your life. You'd be surprised at the things the Holy Spirit will tell you. He'll bring scripture that applies to situations that you never thought of.
Amen.
And you're like, oh my goodness. You know, you'll be all set and ready to give somebody a speech. You know, I love to give speeches to people. I always give them speeches. You know, I've got to tell. And, you know, and the Holy Spirit comes in so many times and says, don't say that. But, don't return evil for evil, insult for insult. For this you have been called to. I call you to this as a child of God. I mean, the Holy Spirit breaks it down. The scripture says you were called to this. It's not a matter of just not doing it to be polite. It's a matter of doing it because you are a child of the Most High God and you're called not to return evil for evil or insult for insult. It's part of your calling as a child of God. So we have to understand that when you bring the Holy Spirit in, he'll bring you revelation on how to deal with. And then he gives me the wisdom on how to deal with it better. And when the Holy Spirit comes in and deals with it, everybody is blessed.
Amen.
You don't just get stuff off your chest.
Amen.
And walk away.
Amen.
Because even that won't bless you and it won't relieve you. I'm telling you, you'll feel the conviction behind it.
Amen.
What you have to do is do it in a way. When you do it in a way, the Holy Spirit comes in. Everybody's blessed when you're done.
Amen.
And you walk away and everybody's blessed. And everybody's rejoicing. The angels in heaven are rejoicing.
Amen.
And Jesus is saying, that's my child. God is saying, that's my child. You know? You know? Don't you love it? You know, I just love to make Jesus proud. You know, and sometimes I'm walking away. I said, Jesus is saying, that's my child. I kept my mouth shut, Lord. I kept my mouth shut. And he said, and I could just hear, yes, you did. Yes, you did. That's my child.
As hard as it was.
As hard as it was. Didn't win the argument. You know, as human things go, you might, you know, I feel bad. Oh, you didn't win the argument. But, oh, God, Jesus is saying, that's my child.
That's all right.
That's my child. And I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that situation. But you,
amen,
you stay faithful to your calling. And what you have been called to do. And I love that. But the Holy Spirit is what's going to bring that to you. Your prayers change because he has revealed to you what is most important. What is the eternal purpose here? What is the eternal thing? Not the temporal, telling somebody off thing. That's temporal.
Amen.
But the eternal stuff. What's going to get them closer to Christ? How are you going to represent Christ? The next point in your lesson says, finally, remember the whole reason for Jesus' sacrifice was so that you and I could have a companionship with him, relationship and intimacy with God. That's why he died.
Amen.
So you could have a relationship.
Amen.
So for you to be coming up before him with all this superficial, rote, ritualistic stuff, he's like, I died so that you could know me.
Yes.
He invites us beyond the superficial into the depths of his love when we pray. The whole purpose of his suffering is so that you could have a personal relationship with him, not just a ritual. Relationship is what sets Christianity apart from every other belief and religion and even superstition. You know, people get superstitious. I got to throw salt over my shoulder. Don't walk under a ladder. Oh, I saw a black cat, all that stuff.
Yep.
Oh, but when you got relationship with Jesus Christ, I don't worry about that stuff.
Amen.
I don't pursue it. Of course, you don't be indulging in, you know, going through all this, don't touch on witchcraft. And, you know, the Bible says don't be dealing with that.
Amen.
But if something happens, if somebody tries, I'm saying, you know what? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus because I got relationship with him. I'm his child. You don't know who you messing with. You messing with the child of God. You know, like word, you know. You messing with the child of God, you know. I don't go around in fear and worried about, oh, you touched that or you did that. Or I'm like, you know what? I got relationship with him. And when you have relationship, you're not caught up in all that stuff and all that superstition and, you know, and you're not worried about all these other faiths and beliefs. That's what set Christianity apart from every other faith.
Amen.
Is relationship.
Amen.
You have relationship with your God.
Amen.
With your Lord.
Amen.
No other faith or religion on the earth can say that. It's all about rituals, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to turn around in three circles, and you got to. No, with Jesus, it's about heart to heart. The psalmist wrote this in Psalm 42:7: "Deep calls to deep at the thundering sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me." Psalm 42:7. And folks, I've got to show you this because as I was doing this yesterday, and you guys know I've got to give you a video, don't I? This past May, I had the opportunity last year to go to Niagara Falls. That's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I tell you, we had the opportunity to see. You know, I hadn't seen it for years. I hadn't been home in about 20 years. And boy, I saw it again. It's like I was seeing it for the first time again. And how amazing it was. And I'm like, oh, my God. And the roar of it and the mist of it and everything. And I got to show you this clip. We actually went on got to pause for a second. How powerful. And the fact that David used this example. Deep calls to deep at the thundering sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers, which are giant waves, and your waves roll over me. You know, as you saw that scene, I was like, God, I can't even imagine the waves rolling over me on this waterfall. All I had was the drops of rain, and I couldn't speak. And no one could speak because of the majesty of it all and the greatness of it all. That's what prayer is all about. And as Rita was saying, Rita hit it because I put that in my notes. that the next verse after this, he says, but each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night, I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. And that's Psalms 42:8. And he's talking about prayer time. If you can imagine, I just want you to see that, because I want you to have that picture of the Holy Spirit coming in and deep calls to deep, the deepest part of you calling to the deepest parts of God and vice versa. And it overflows you that you cannot speak. And many of you have been there. You know what I'm talking about. When the Holy Spirit overflows so much, you cannot even speak. Just like that waterfall. No one could even talk to each other because the thunder was so loud. And the rain was coming down and the wind was so strong that I have no words. I can't even speak in your presence. Just like praying hide. The man said, I just stood there and the tears rolled down my face. And he said nothing. But I knew I was in the presence of God. Folks, this is what God wants for us. That's why Jesus died, so that we could have this and not vain, empty repetition.
Amen.
We don't want it to be a drag. It should never be a drag. You're in the presence of an almighty God and an almighty force. And he's saying that I want your waterfall to overflow me. I want your breakers to sweep over me, O Lord. And this is where we want to get to in prayer. When this starts to happen. When there are no words. I believe praying Hyde knew he needed. I don't think he could speak. Because he knew where he was. He was in the presence of God. And I don't speak. And when you come into the presence of a king. The presence of the president. You don't go in talking. You go in quiet. And you wait until you're invited to say something. Back in the day, when you came before the king, you were quiet until the king put his scepter out and said you could speak. Oh, folks, you're going before the King of Kings. Have you called it? Has he asked for it? Lord, just I'm waiting. I'm waiting for you to put your scepter out through your Holy Spirit. Before I even open my mouth to speak. Because I don't even know how to pray as I ought. So again, it's something we want to work on when it comes on the lock of prayers. Really having our prayers be real and being sincere. And not being just vain repetition. Okay, prayer number five. A lock number five. Prayer's not prayed. Wow. We have just commented above that the word of God says that your Father knows what you have need before you ask him. Then why wouldn't God just do for us what we need without us asking for it? Duh, why don't you just, you know, we need this. Your word says you know. And why don't you just do it without asking, us having to ask? The scriptures teach us that you have not because you ask not. That's James 4:2. For some reason, God wants you to be a part of the process of your needs being met. To just give you things without your need of any engagement with God goes against the building of an intimate relationship. Can you imagine if you just gave your children everything? They never had to say anything. I just anticipated your needs. I knew what you wanted. So just never talk to them. Just give them. How would that child grow up? They would grow up not even knowing who you are. They would not know anything about you. It was just, okay, they're going to take care of me. And how would that child feel? Disconnected. Just this big mythical God that gives me what I want, but I really don't know him. Oh, God wants us to know him. You know, we're going to pause for questions in a bit. But
If you look at folks in our society who rich folks who just give their kids everything, mm-hmm. and child grows up with resentment, all kind of things. Not the connection, as you said.
Yeah, they do. They do. You know, so it's something that you have to think about, you know, because sometimes we get caught up in everything else. But God, oh, he is the richest of all, isn't he?
Amen.
He is the richest of all. And he doesn't give us everything. You know, if God didn't give you something, you need to be talking to him as to why he didn't give it to you.
All right.
because this, he's sending you a message. You need to talk to me and you would understand. You know, I've heard testimonies from people. One friend of mine, she's such a great prayer warrior friend of mine. And she said months before her husband died, she knew God was going to do something, was going to happen. She didn't know she was going to lose her husband. But she said, I actually grieved over him for the longest time. And sure enough, God took him. He had accepted the Lord. I mean, like, he accepted the Lord. And I mean, like, weeks later, he was gone. I mean, after a long history of just doing all kind of things, he accepted the Lord, and then he was gone. And she said, you know, when he died, I didn't even grieve that much because I had already grieved because God had already prepared me that he was going to take him. You know, boy, what kind of relationship? I mean, I just thought that was like, I've never heard of such a deep, intimate relationship like that, that you can even take my loved one, Lord, and I trust you with it. I've already understood. I'm saddened that it happened. Yes, I am. But I know that I trust you, that nothing is lost in your hand. Oh, I love that about God. I got them, but I'm taking them ahead and you just carry on. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? And she did. She's carrying on still today. You know, so prayer is not prayed. Having that intimate relationship. God wants you to come to him and ask of him what you desire. How many times do we just motor past him, never breaking for directions or advice? Too busy and too much of a hurry to stop and seek his counsel. And that's from our book. We only ask him when things go wrong. Isn't that the truth? We got this. I got my degree. I know how to run a meeting, all this stuff. And we only ask him when things start to go wrong. And that's, I hope you got your handout. We're going to read this handout. I'm sure you guys have heard this poem, The Difference. And I thought it was so appropriate for this. And it says, I got up early one morning and rushed into my day. I had so much to accomplish, I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered, why didn't God show me? He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, child, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish. I had to take time to pray. Amen. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, on your busy days, oh, you make it a point to pray. Because I'll tell you that adversary of yours, the devil, on your busy days, he's just waiting for you not to pray. Because he's set some traps for you, and he's hoping that you're not built up in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So you can't see it, and you'll walk right into it. You can have the best laid plans, but I'm telling you, you need to add some prayer to those plans. The next point in your lesson says, in addition to God's desire for us to engage with him, he wants us to understand our dependency upon him. Too often we rely on ourselves, whether it be our status, our bank accounts, our education, our limited knowledge of a situation, or our connection with other people to get through the situations and the appointments of the day. We fail to recognize over and over again the layout of the battlefield we step out on every day. We fail to realize you're stepping out on a battlefield every day. The Bible says that you're counted as sheep to be slaughtered. We fail to appreciate the cunning deceit of our enemy, how he seeks to trip us up and even destroy us daily. We fail. You know, we think, oh, everything's... Folks, I'm telling you, not until he comes. I know we're tired. You're tired sometimes. You're weary, you know, but not until he comes.
Amen.
You have to keep praying.
Amen.
You have to stay on your face. Amen. It is only God through his Christ and his Holy Ghost that can save you from the never-ending pitfalls of the enemy. The scriptures remind us, as it is written, for your sakes, we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And that's Romans 8:36. as you are a follower of Christ, you would be wise to stay connected with him in prayer as you face the day.
Amen.
And every day.
Amen.
Every day. You need to pray on Sunday morning. Please pray on Sunday morning. Because the enemy doesn't like Sunday morning.
Amen.
Those that worship on Saturday, he didn't like. He didn't like when the people are coming together to worship.
Amen.
Wednesday night, be praying on Wednesday.
Amen.
Before you come.
Amen.
Praying that souls will come in. That people will come. That the blinders would fall off the eyes of the people. You know, people are blind.
Amen.
You know, and they can't help it because of what happens and what has happened in the world. They're so blind and they can't see. But that's what we need to be praying about every day.
Amen.
The next point says, therefore, you will find unsatisfied silence from prayers not prayed, from your Lord not acknowledged. Remember to pray about everything.
Amen.
Never leave God out of anything that you are doing.
Amen.
Okay, please stop compartmentalizing God. Please stop compartmentalizing your faith. Bring it. Bring it. Pray over it. Pray over the job. Pray over people at the job. They don't have to know you're praying for them. Just pray over them.
Amen.
You know? Just lift them up. That's why you're there. Do you understand? You're a representative. You're in God's secret service, as like we call it sometimes.
Amen.
You know, praying over people. You know, and you'd be surprised at the people that know you can pray, and they'll show up. Can you pray over this? Can you pray over this? Can you do this? I'm like, you didn't even know that they knew you were a believer, but they knew. Can you pray with me?
Amen.
Or they'll just come and talk to you. You know, they don't want to come out and ask you. They'll just come and talk to you about what's going on. And just waiting for you to say, you want to pray about it? Yes, yes. Can we pray? You know? And as I said, you know, as we talked about praying, people that pray that don't know Christ, but you do.
Amen.
And they know that.
Amen.
I don't know him, but you do.
Amen.
Will you pray? Will you go before the king for me and pray?
Amen.
That's what they're asking. And what a testimony it is to them. So, folks, you want to be praying about everything. I tell you, I believe that God has an assignment for you every day.
Amen.
You may not know what it is, but pray in the morning before you go out that door.
Amen.
Because God has an assignment. And those of you that stay at home, pray.
Amen.
It could be something that's going to happen.
Amen.
You know, even in your own home that you want to pray about and be ready for.
Amen.
You know, be ready for those children. You know, somebody say, grown children, be ready for them, okay? Because they can say some things that you, I'm like, I have no words. I have no words. I know. I'm like, I have no words. You know, and I said, Lord, I have nothing. I just need to go pray somewhere, you know, because.
Or I'm going to slap you.
I know. And Terry's trying to not to slap him. Don't slap him, Terry. Just pray for him, okay?
Let it go.
Let it go. Like, oh, no, you didn't. You know, so. The Holy, as I said, the devil doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't care. He doesn't play fair. Okay, he'll hit you with anything he can hit you with. You're counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Isn't it interesting how the Bible used that comparison? Of being slaughtered. You know, not you're counted as sheep to be knocked down. You're counted as sheep to be punched. No, he said you're counted as sheep to be slaughtered. The devil is out to take you out.
Amen.
And your family out.
Amen.
And that's why your prayers have got to be real and sincere. Prayers not prayed, and they have to be prayed. Pray for your children. You know, I hope you guys have set up your war room at this point. I hope you guys have set it up and keep adding to it. This is another thing to add to it. Reminders. I can't rush out of here today and not pray.
Amen.
I got to be praying before I rush out of here. Praying over these, over the children. You don't know how many people you're standing in the gap for.
Amen.
I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you, the biblical prophecies have been fulfilled. So many things are happening. I was telling you guys about listening to Dr. David Jeremiah's Book of Signs, and I was just amazed at some of the things he was saying that I didn't even realize was was scripture coming to pass, the unification of Europe. Look out, folks. It's in the book of Revelation. I didn't even realize it.
Amen.
Book of Daniel talked about it and that it was going to happen. And it's just another indicator that the time is short. Things are being wrapped up at this point in time. We're living in a time where we're seeing that things are going to come to pass.
Amen.
Everything is set up for the Antichrist, folks. Everything is set up. That unification in Europe, look out. Things are being set up over there. Yeah, it's called The Book of Signs by Dr. David Jeremiah. It's just an amazing book. I'm just at the beginning of it, and I'm blown away by some of the things, how he has broken down the Book of Daniel and the Book of Revelation that talked about the end times and where we are in the timeline. Oh, my goodness, folks, we're there.
Yeah.
You know, we're there. So we need to be in prayer. This generation of believers needs to be praying more than any other. Pray for the millennials. I'm telling you, lift them up. I am believing God for a revival to break out in the millennials.
Amen.
The enemy thinks he has them, but I'm telling you, I'm looking for God to bring a revival in the millennials. I believe he will do it. I believe he will do it. So the next number six is praying with a lustful heart. Uh-oh, let's deal with that one. Okay, because, you know, if we're serious about our prayer life, we got to deal with some stuff, okay, with us. We got to deal with some things that lock prayers up. So your lesson says, now for the second part of James' letter on prayer, he wrote, and even when you ask, you don't get because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. That's James 4:3. And the King James says that you may consume it upon your lust. You know, the King James hits you right between the eyes. You know, I love the word of God because it doesn't use like pretty words and sugarcoat anything. It just hits you right between the eyes. David said, listen, if you see any wicked way in me, I don't say any frustration. Don't use pretty words. I'm a little frustrated. I'm a little irritable. No, he says wicked. Lord, if you see the wickedness, deal with it. You know, and I love this, that he hits you right between the eye, your pleasure, your lust, that you may consume it upon your lust. And it says, if lust, greed, bitterness, or pride, or revenge, I wanted to add that, are motives for requesting something, then God will not be pleased to respond. And that's from our book. God is a wise father concerning you. He will not ruin or spoil you with things that feed your lust and pride. He wants to bless you with things, but not at the expense of your soul.
Amen.
He wants to bless you with things, but not at the expense of your soul.
Amen.
God knows what to give us and when to give it to us for our good, not our ruin.
Amen.
You know, God takes good care of us as his children. If he's holding stuff back, it's for a reason.
Amen.
He holds things back, holds people back out of your life, holds all kind of things he'll do because he doesn't want you ruined. And he knows what will happen. I tell you, at any given time, we don't have all the intel on any situation.
Amen.
You know, but God knows. We must learn to trust his knows and his waits. When God says no, accept it. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't give me that. Thank you. I wanted that. And I've told you guys a story about when I wanted that building for our organization, our autism center. And I wanted that building so bad. I thought I knew the people and boy, I know we're going to get it. And boy, boom, it all fell through. And I was just crying and boohooing and just driving and, oh, we don't have a place for our kids. Oh, you know, just crying.
And now.
And I was just saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And just crying, you know, cries. I said, praise him through the tears, praise him through the pain. And I was learning. That's when I was learning because I had just studied that. And I was like, okay, thank you, Jesus. And that it didn't go through. Okay, thank you. You know, wasn't feeling it at all. But I was being obedient and thanking him for it. And then look, yeah, as you guys said, look at what God has done.
Beautiful. Sir.
Had something else, better location, safer location, better room to grow. God says, you don't even have any room to grow. I wasn't looking at all that. I just wanted a building. And he said, you don't have this. And look at the busy street right there. And God's like, okay, no.
Not now.
You know, as you have to tell your kids, no, 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 you can't have a gun for Christmas. No, no, you no. It's like some of these things that you kids ask me for, you know, can I, yeah. Can I have a tomahawk? No, you can't have a tomahawk. And the things that God will do, and, you know, he listens, and he only blesses us with what he knows. And, boy, he turned that thing around, and he blessed us abundantly. And I'm here to testify, folks, today we got over 10,000-square-foot facility, beautiful facility that God has blessed us with. Better look. I mean, it was like, okay, God, okay, all right. Thank you, Father, for saying no back then.
Even though I'm crying.
Even though I was crying.
It was like, ruined his fit.
Yeah. Having his, you know, I didn't have the fit, Terry, though.
Okay.
But I was kind of miffed at God, and I was praying, but I was praising him. Okay. Even through being miffed with him. And that's another point. Even when you're mad at God, praise him. He knows what is in your heart.
Amen.
But he's also looking at the fact that in obedience, you're praying, you're praising him.
Mm-hmm. I love
you. In obedience, you're trusting him.
Amen.
You know. Your kids, they'll come in the house, you know, didn't want to come in the house, and you said I couldn't go, so I come in and all mad and stuff, you know, but you come in, don't you?
Amen.
They come in because they know Papa is safe. It's safe to be with Papa. You know, my friends may or may not be there for me, but Papa is safe.
Mm-hmm.
So we do it. And we're obedient. But yeah, we have our emotions. So, and I say that, folks, so you won't feel like your emotions need to dictate your obedience.
Amen.
Doesn't. You may feel a certain way, but be obedient to God.
Amen.
You may be mad at God, but keep coming to church.
Amen.
Sit right on the front row. Make the devil mad.
Amen.
The old ladies used to say back in my church, cut the devil's head off, girl. Just go on down and sit in the front. And yeah, everybody knows what you did. Go sit on the front row of the church.
And hold that head high.
And hold your head high. When the altar call comes, go on up there.
I love you.
You know, folks, you got to cut the devil's head off because the devil will be telling you all kind of stuff. Girl, I can't believe you're going to show up in church. Yes, I am. Because my Father's arms are always open wide. He's always like this to me. He's never folding his arms and saying, no, his arms are like this. Remember the prodigal?
Amen.
I love that story.
Mm-hmm.
The father went out to meet him.
Amen.
He didn't wait at the porch like, I can't believe he's showing up. Probably spent all my good money and now he's showing up back. No. He ran off that from the house and he ran out on the road and he met him.
Amen.
And you got to keep that in mind. You know, that God is always there to hear you when you're praying. You know, we're talking about praying from a lustful heart. When you've messed up and you've done all kind of craziness, God is right there.
Amen.
The next point on your lesson says, God will bless those who have earned a crown of humility, meaning those who have praised him and been obedient to him when they had little and when they had much. He watches as he blesses you. Do you understand that? You know, I mean, if you want to get over having a lustful heart, and I'm telling you, we're all born that way, okay? So don't, you know, this is not a sermon of, or a lesson of condemnation. It is a lesson of learning.
Amen.
Okay, Lord, I got stuff. There's things I like. I like nice things. You know, all you people that like shoes and purses and cars and, you know, and houses. I mean, we all get there. Look, Terry's hiding, you know. You know, we love all our little stuff, you know, and God doesn't fault you for having that, but he doesn't want them to have you,
Amen.
You know,
exactly.
So that's what he's talking about. He blesses you with little and he watches you, and then he can bless you with much. He blesses those who have overcome things and seek the spiritual over the material and the temporal things. Boy, you get there in life, you know, all this stuff is going to pass away. You're not taking anything with you. Don't get caught up in it, folks. I'm telling you, if God wants it, turn it over to him. Give it to him. That's what he's talking about. I'll give it to you. But if I ask you to give it away, then will you give it away? Will you do what I ask you to do? Are you going to be hoarding it and holding it? You know, that's what he's talking about. Praying and then asking for more. Lord, bless me with more. Why would I bless you with more when you won't even do what I've asked you to do with what you have?
Amen.
He blesses those who have overcome and seek the spiritual over the material and the temporal. The apostle wrote, not that I speak from any personal need, for I have learned, get that, I have learned to be content. Even the apostle is admitting, I wasn't always like this, but I have learned to be content and self-sufficient through Christ, satisfied to the point where I am not disturbed or uneasy, regardless of my circumstances. And that's Philippians 4:11 in the Amplified. He's saying he's found complete peace with his life in Christ Jesus. When you have this mindset, then you are ready for greater blessings. God can trust you. The greedy heart need not apply. I'll tell you that now.
Amen.
Don't even apply. I mean, because if you've been coming off as greedy, just wait until you've learned. And I'll tell you, you learn by giving. You learn by giving. Okay, I have to give some stuff away. You know, and God will take you down that course of giving. You know, we all, it's good to have a financial plan. I get that. You know, I have a financial plan, but the Holy Spirit takes precedence over it.
Amen.
You know, and if he says give, okay, Lord, I was planning to have that thing paid. I had it all paid for back to the car. Had it all paid for. Had a plan. But when God says give, you give. I can bless you with another one. But this is what I want you to do right now. And it's not just for that person. It is for you.
Yeah.
Because I need to see where you are concerning things and material possessions. God will put you in the situation where you have to humble yourself before men.
Amen.
Oh, boy. You know, and I say mankind. You know, you have to humble yourself before people.
Amen.
But I'm all that and I'm... God is watching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know they're coming at you. I know you have nothing to say, and I know they shouldn't have done that. I know you went to the meeting and they sucker punched you. Remember, you weren't expecting that? Oh, he's watching to see how you behave. I want to be able to trust you. Can I trust you? Can I bless you? Can you be a conduit of blessing to others? Or are you going to stop it up? And nothing can get past you. So as I said, if you want the greater blessings of God, if you want God to bless you with things, then you have to hear this word in James where it says this piece about you ask and you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. Asking out of revenge. Oh, boy. I hit somebody on that one. Want God to kill people. Thank God. Thank God he says no to some of those prayers. I think most of the world population would be gone today.
If not all.
Have prayed, Lord, just kill them. Just kill them all, Jesus. Just kill them all, Jesus.
I've had enough.
Just kill them all. Thank you, Jesus, that he doesn't answer those prayers. So we've got to learn. Are we praying according to the way of the Holy Ghost? And finally, note that contentment was something that the apostle had to learn. What a beautiful life it is to be content in Christ. The scriptures teach us, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the petitions of your heart. So this is in deep contrast to that scripture we just read in James. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and the petitions of your heart. Psalm 37:4. The heart that is delighted in God will receive their requests before him. Oh, wow. The heart that delights in the Lord is satisfied, folks. It's satisfied. It's like, I'm complete in Christ. Lord, it would be great, but hey, you know, if you do it, fine. If you don't do it, I'm good. You know, the apostle was like that. I have learned. If you give me, if you know, sometimes they sent him blessings, the churches sent him, and oh, I, you know, you hear him thanking them. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for what you sent me. But I'm content in Christ. If I don't get things, I'm fine. If I have to stay with the same car for another year, I'm fine, Lord. Mm-hmm. If this happens, I'm fine. Wherever I'm living, I'm fine, Lord. As long as I've got you, as long as I can have my time with you, Lord, I'm good. I'm good. You know, I admire missionaries so much. You know, missionaries that leave this country and goes over and lives there. Not visit, live there. How amazing it is. You give up all of the amenities of the United States of America and all the things you could have and all. You know, I have friends that are doctors that go over there. I mean, they could be making millions in the United States, but yet they're overseas. And countries where they're getting paid pittance and living, you know, in such a meager way, and they could be making so much money here in the United States, living in luxury, you know. And I admire that because they have gotten over things. They have understood that this world, this life is just a sliver in eternity. This is a part of eternity. It's just a sliver of it. But it determines where you spend it.
Amen.
That's just the paradox of all of this, folks, is that this little sliver of life that we put so much stock in is just a little piece of the pie of eternity. So we got to get it in perspective and realize what we need to let go of. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, said the preacher.
Amen.
Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Lord, whatever you want, you get. You have. Just ask for it, Lord. And he'll do it. So again, folks, we want to bring the Holy Spirit into our praying. And we'll open for questions and comments. Where are my preachers? Come on, here's Kip. First preacher.
Well, you know, I wanted to share this. This changed my life. And I've been walking with the Lord for some time. But this really changed my prayer, changed my life. And I ran across a book where a fellow was showing how to pray. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. And you have to see the Holy Spirit as a person. And in the Bible, it's described, you know, the rushing of the mighty wind, you know, the fire, the dove. And people don't see the Holy Spirit as a person. The Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes.
When Mary asked how she was going to become pregnant, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will give birth to the Son Jesus. But this is a prayer that he prayed, and it helped me. It helped me in my life. It helped me in my walk. It helped me in my prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
And the prayer was, he said, Father, teach me how to live and to walk with my companion, the Holy Spirit. And in that prayer, when I started praying that way, it wasn't that the Lord wasn't talking to me, but I wasn't always recognizing that he was telling me things.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes we say the Lord told us, it's the Holy Spirit that's talking to you.
Yes.
It's the Holy Spirit that's telling you things. I just have a brief testimony. I was a young man in the service.
Brother, can you talk to me?
I have a brief testimony. I was a young man in the service. I had a fellow approach me. And we called it the spirit of discernment. It was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And he said, do not ever trust this man. And he said, plain as day, he said, don't ever trust him. And it took this guy a whole year before he came out of his bag, but he came out.
Uh-huh.
He came out of his bag, and it was like, when he did, it wasn't even a surprise to me. I wasn't shocked.
Yeah. Yes.
I was able to maintain my cool and level and do as the Lord had told me. But when he came out of his bag, and he kind of sniggled to himself, and I said, man, the Lord showed me you a whole year ago. He warned me about you a whole year ago. But,
yes.
But when we walk with our companion, the Holy Spirit, you know, some things we say, you know, God told me no.
Yes.
That's not God telling you no. That's the Holy Spirit leading you and telling you that that's not for you because you hadn't heard the whole story or you haven't seen what I've seen and know what I'm knowing.
Yeah.
So. being led by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Boy, thank you for sharing that, Kip. I tell you, I'm sure many of you have had those experiences. I've had experiences like that, too, where the Lord was showing me something. And you didn't want to receive it at first because it put someone else in a negative light. But the Holy Spirit was trying to warn me, mm-hmm. be careful. Mm-hmm. This is coming. And just went, oh, no, I'm not going to be. And, you know, it was like I knew it was the Holy Spirit because it just kept coming and kept coming. And he's like, I'm just trying to prepare you because something's coming. Something's coming down the pike and you need to be ready for it. Just like my friend I told you about, her husband. God was about to take her husband and he prepared her for it beforehand. So when the time came, she was ready to bear it. You know, and God did the same thing for me. And I remember when the time came, I was looking back. I said, God, you were trying to tell me all along. You were trying to prepare me all along. God does not let you get caught unaware. I mean, I love that. And that's another thing that happens when you pray and you invite the Holy Spirit, you're ready for things that are coming. You know, you may not know all the details of it, but you're ready. The Lord says, be careful. Shore yourself up. Sometimes he'll reveal things to you in dreams.
Amen.
He'll show you in dreams. He reveals something to me in a dream. And I what a bad dream. But he was trying to tell me something. And I didn't want to receive it. I didn't want to hear it because it was so hurtful. But God is trying to prepare you. And he also let me know, I'm going to be right there with you. And he was. He was right there. Remember that this is what I've been trying to tell you. But I'm right here because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's right there. Anybody else want to share?
The picture of your water.
Yes.
How powerful water is.
Yes.
How it holds up these big cruise ships.
Yes.
You know, we just take everything for granted. You know, we see how we need the water for life and how it comes in and cleans up.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter went scuba diving one time and she said, she said, it's clear. It's daylight.
Yeah.
And I said, what do you mean it's daylight? She said, well, you know, how do you think the fish get around? They don't bump into each other.
Yeah.
And she said, it's as beautiful under the water as it is on the mountaintop.
I'm telling you. So she says
that's what our experience is ours, that we could be on the mountaintop or we could be in the deep of the water, but we look for the beauty.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't God amazing?
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
There are things that are beautiful in this world we haven't even laid eyes on, but it's God's creation.
Just the power of that water.
Yes.
I mean, where'd it come from?
It was amazing, And it's just the Niagara River, and I'm like, doesn't the water ever run out? It has never run out. Those falls have been going on for like probably millions of years. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, it just, it was just so mesmerizing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I said I grew up there. But when I went back and I was like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there were people there from all over the world. But what really blew my mind when I was watching that video yesterday is like, Lord, no conversations are going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens when you get in the presence of God. You're quiet. You have nothing to say, you know. And I'm telling people, when you've been told off by God, you've been told off. Sometimes I've been told off by God. And I had nothing to say. I'm like, yes, Lord. Yes, that's all I had to say. You know, because you're in the presence. And you know it. And you know that your meager excuses, it won't stand up.
Yeah.
It won't hold water.
Right,
you know.
Water, our body can live without water for 3 days. That's it.
Yeah.
You know. And yet how often we just go and turn the faucet on, turn it off, you know, let it waste, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if he cuts the water off.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, help us. Yeah. David said, whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
For me.
We can live without food, but we can't live without water.
Amen.
So, right.
Amen. Anybody else want to share?
I have something that I want to share. On last Super Bowl Sunday, and this is why it's so important to be in the Word, it's so... there's so many things that's happening that's distorting the Word. Churches are getting on board with how they interpret marriage and just... living like the world and not even you can't tell the world from the church and the church from the world anymore. And on last Super Bowl Sunday, they did a commercial where they come out. The commercial had a fella, the dog had chewed up his wallet. And he wasn't concerned about it. He was kind of giggling about it. His credit cards and everything was all chewed up. And he was kind of giggling about it because when he went to the store and make a purchase, he just swiped his hand for the purchase. And wow. And if you're reading in Revelation, they're introducing the mark of the beast as convenience.
Yeah.
It's convenience. And it's kind of casual, and they did it on Super Bowl Sundays, so they had a lot of people paying attention to that. So technology, it was a fella, my mom used to talk about him, Notre Dame, he used to talk about the destruction of the world through technology.
Yeah.
And we're going to invent ways of killing ourselves.
And we've done it already. Yeah.
I was watching the movie Jurassic Park, and the funny thing was, it says you know, God created dinosaurs. Dinosaurs became extinct. Man created dinosaurs. Dinosaur eats men. and then the woman said, and then women inherit the earth.
Yeah, I remember that line. Like, you know, we don't even know what we should not be doing.
Right.
You know, and another line from that movie I remember is, you were so busy thinking about if you could, you never thought to think if you should. And I'm like, wow, that was a good line, you know, that you should not be messing with certain things, you know, and certain things you should leave alone. You know, but yeah, you're absolutely right. And we are getting set up. As I said, you know, boy, if you get a chance to read that Book of Signs, and we're being programmed little by little, we're being programmed. You know, we went from all these different things, and now we've got these little devices that we can't seem to put down or be without, you know, and it has chips in it. So they know where we are in all locations. You know, if you ever went on a trip, you know that this thing knows where you are on the planet. You know, when I was in Niagara Falls, this thing was picking up. Karen Colvin's in Niagara Falls right now. You know, and just how it picks you up, and we're one step away from that.
Yep.
And there are some businesses doing it.
Smart TVs, yeah.
A camera, they can watch you anytime
you
want.
Yeah, they probably heard my whole lesson in Washington, didn't they? Good. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we're all set up for it, you know. But, you know, you can't pray away the book of Revelation, folks.
No, you can't.
It's a sign of the times, you know. And we have these devices in our home. I'm not saying anything against Alexa or Siri. But Siri's listening, you know, to all of this stuff. And Alexa's listening to all of this stuff. And I'm telling you. So, folks, we're all ready and we're all set up for it. And, you know, and that way, you know, Jesus said, you know, that we should rejoice at this time, you know, because the coming of the Son draws near. That's what he said. Rejoice, you know, when you see this happening and you see this happening and, you know, your redemption. That's it, Rose. That your redemption draws near. That's what he said. So, you know, we rejoice at this time. We don't, you know, shudder like everybody else does on all the earthquakes and all of the disasters going on in the world. I mean, every time you turn on the news, you can't even bear to watch it day in and day out and all the things that are happening. But folks, I'm telling you, Jesus said, rejoice because look to me, because the time I'm going to come and get you, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
I was just wondering, the chip is coming and it is here already.
It's here. It's here.
Yeah, my son-in-law, he works for, he has two jobs, and one of them is at the, where the airplanes, I can't hear right now. But anyway, he said that it is coming, that they want to put you a chip in there.
Yeah.
And he asked me, is it wrong? And I'm like,
yes.
But we've heard, you know, you're not supposed to put any marks on you and everything. He said, but he works for the government in the both jobs. Uh-huh. And I'm like, wow. I mean, what do you say? If you say no.
I would say no.
I know, but they have to. They have to do that. And there's, he said, and it's coming, you know, and it's already.
You know, and see, that's how they get you. That's how you get, because remember what the Bible says about that. The Bible says, if you didn't take the mark, you could not buy or sell. And I dare say probably hold down a job.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all encompassing and part of that. So the Bible already talked about that. Whoever did not take it could not do certain things, you know. So we have to think differently about saying that they have to. No, unless they're going to hold you down and put it in you forcibly, you don't have to. Yeah. You know, yes, you might lose your job, but I'd rather lose my job than lose eternity. Yeah, right. Lose my soul.
Well,
but,
this one we were talking about, our kids, we if you give them everything, you know, and then when they have everything, you know, they're spoiled, rotten, where they fall apart when they don't have it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my son-in-law, I mean, terrible.
Yeah, people won't go back home if they miss their medication. They won't go back home if they have the wrong two different shoes on. But if they leave this,
amen,
they're going back home.
I pray for them.
You know, they will. They go back home because my life. I've heard people say my life is in that phone.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't have a phone.
So
I'm sad.
But the end result is the mark of the beast, not a chip.
Well, but the chip
is.
But it's going to be on the forehead, not all on your hands.
Yeah, no, it says the hand and the forehead.
Yeah. But that's going to be after we're out of here, though.
But we don't know. You know, I mean, we're on a timeline, but it's just saying be careful. The book of Revelation is warning you. Is warning you about this, you know. So we're there, and we've been programmed that it's okay, and that's why. And we have a whole generation coming up that doesn't understand the Bible because many of them are unchurched. You know, they haven't been taught the Word of God. You know, so that's why you hear these questions: is that wrong? Because I don't. Yeah.
I said, I'm pretty sure we're not supposed to, you know. And then that's what it is. She says, well, we have to, you know, we work for the government.
And we've got to understand that we, you know, little by little, you're losing your privacy. And that's how the Antichrist will control. You have no privacy at all, you know. As I said, these devices, you know, our bank cards have the chips in it now. Yeah, the bank cards have the chips. If you ever go to Walmart, you'll notice that they got cameras watching. I mean, right in front of the cash register. I mean, I was like, is that me? I was like, this little screen? And I was like, oh, my God. You know, and they're watching you as you buy your groceries. You know? And, you know, so all of these things are happening now, you know, and we're programmed for it. So, again, I think it's important to issue a warning to people. You have been programmed, so now that we get to the part of inserting it in you, you're not going to put up such a fight. Because you've been so used to it. And boy, look at all the great things you can do. If the dog eats up my wallet, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, see how convenient.
I am so blessed with him. But it's just to talk to him about, you know, it's just like sometimes, you know, they think they know it all, put it that way.
Yeah.
They think, you know, the generation today, they think they know it all, you know, and they don't know nothing.
Well, the thing, you know, and again, just putting the Bible in a different perspective than previous generations, you know. But again, as I said, I believe that Christ is going to break out a revival in this generation. I honestly believe it. I said, I'm looking for the millennials to break out. Because one thing I do love about this generation is that they're very honest. I love the honesty. Boy, they're just honest about what they think and what they feel, you know. And I believe when it comes to, you know, the things of Christ, that they're going to see the truth eventually. You know, I was listening to folks on The Family the other day, and they were talking about how the millennials are rising up as pro-lifers because they're looking at, oh, no, this is wrong, you know, because they're a very honest group, you know. So I believe that they're going to rise up and really surprise us at their stand for Christ. That's what I pray for. That's what I believe. And that's what you're kind of seeing. They're very real. They're very real. You had a comment.
No, I was just saying about the chip in our bank cards and in our animals, like you said, you know, even our dogs have chips.
Yeah, because they'll sell it as safety. They'll sell it to you as a safety precaution. You know, you can always find where your children are because all you have to do is go on your phone and get the child app and find your child. Oh, you know.
They're doing that with the animals.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm so.
Dr. Karen, and I pray, and I ask all of us to pray this too. I pray for the folks who want to go through that day. Or ask the Lord to put on your heart.
Wow.
Because, you know, in America, we have never starved to death.
No.
We've never had to starve to death. I remember watching as a kid, I used to see the folks, kids in Africa with the distended bellies and from starvation. And they used to be saying, you know, hey, these kids are hungry. And I'm like, that kid looks fat to me. I'm a kid, you know. This is my project as a kid, you know. That kid looks fat to me. You got a distended belly. I didn't know that's hunger. But most people have not been hungry. Most people in the United States have been on a diet. You know, trying to lose a little weight, you know. But never been hungry. And it's going to be very hard. Because I'm just going to put it out there. Forgive me if it's offensive. But people are worshiping their kids.
Yes.
I do not see parents watching their kids starve to death because they're not taking the mark.
Yeah.
I don't see this happen.
Yeah, wow.
And I'm saying, we're talking about little bitty babies, not the grown-up ones, you know. And but it's just like, and the Bible talks about falling away. Mm-hmm. And people are going to be falling away. It's going to be like, hey, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna take this mark and feed my kids. And I'm like, wow. Have to pray for strength that the Lord, we know what we got to do. We're going to have to endure some things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not going to be easy stuff to endure.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be very tough.
And even starving ourselves, because I believe when the rapture comes, the children are going to be gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But, you know, we ourselves, we're not used to starving or going without, you know. You
Look
know,
at
so
the
I
waste.
Think
Well, we how much we waste?
Yeah, how much we. But you know, so I think it's going to be a very sad day. You know, and I think it is good. I was thinking about that myself. Is praying for people that will be left behind.
Yes,
because
yes.
you need to pray it now while the Holy Spirit is here. I pray for them, and I do that too. I pray for them.
Nursing. Yeah. Revelation speaks about. The Lord wishes that we won't be nursing when the rapture happens because the kids will be gone. They'll be gone.
That's, oh boy, because I was thinking about that very scripture.
Yeah.
He said, woe to the women who were nursing.
Yes.
And I was like, why is he saying woe to them? He didn't say woe to the pregnant women.
No.
He didn't say woe to the mothers. He said woe to the women that were nursing because that baby was taken.
Mm-hmm.
And boy,
yep.
what grief on that mom,
mm-hmm.
you know, that is, you know, still making breast milk, if you can recall, think about that.
Yeah.
But the child is gone.
Yep.
So Jesus pointed that particular group out. The nursing mothers,
mm-hmm.
and woe to them,
yeah.
you know, because the child would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the children are gone. See, we watch these movies about the rapture, but folks, we have no idea how it's going to be.
Because
I can't even imagine. Yeah.
But some of the women that are saved are going to be there.
Yeah.
And that's what the warning is.
Some of them, and they never, you know, a lot of the movies I've seen, they don't show all the children missing. I'm like, do you understand all the children, mm-hmm. the hospitals, the nurseries gone. I think, dare say, even pregnant women, mm-hmm. they're no longer mm-hmm. pregnant.
Right. Yeah.
And every they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the tragedy and the
wailing
mm-hmm. that's going to take place in the world at that time?
Amen.
Because it'll be a very sad time. So, yes, you know, I implore you guys, pray for them now.
Yes.
Pray for them that they will stand, you know, that they won't starve. I mean, that they will be willing to starve, you know, if need be, because there is a second chance, according to the word of God, you know, with the second coming of Christ and everything, mm-hmm. that there will be a second chance. But boy, that mark, we're all set up for it, Marie. We're all set up for it. It's already here. And there are certain jobs. It's not just government jobs. There's jobs I've heard of other people in other companies that are setting their employees up so that they have to have,
They're doing it in the military. And I tell you this, you can take any world leader, kidnap them butt naked, snatch them, and they'll know where to locate them.
They'll know where to locate them, yeah. Because I think for certain people, they probably put that thing deep inside their body somewhere where you can't just easily remove it. You know. So anyway, let's pray. We're over time. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the revelation knowledge that's come forth. Lord, even in this meeting, Lord. Father, I pray that we pray. I pray that our prayers, oh Lord, go to a whole new level, Lord God. Father, I pray we take the time to just invite the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Move us how to pray. Move us what to pray. Oh, Father God. Father, we pray we would increase, we would decrease, I'm sorry, and you would increase. And that will come by your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, come. Our brother pointed out that the Holy Spirit is a person. So we invite the person of the Holy Spirit. You're invited in, Holy Spirit. You're invited into our homes. You're invited into our prayer closets. We invite you into our personal time. Oh, Lord. We want prayer to be the highlight of our day. Oh, Lord, we say as deep calls to deep at the thunder of your waterfall. Oh, flow over us, Lord God. Let your waves flow over us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to practice that, folks. Practice that this week. Just being quiet before the Lord and inviting the Holy Spirit to come in.